Hi, everybody. Welcome to No Story is Sacred. If you've never listened before, basically, we're four siblings who grew up talking about the art of storytelling. Now that we're adults, we're still talking about it, and we're inviting you to join the conversation. I'm Alex, and I prefer my assassins to be elegant.
I'm Pippin, and while I am team free will, I'm not exactly sure I'm team murder.
I'm Brendan, and I actually played the video games.
Ooh. I'm Kat, and in my past life, I was selling vegetables in Spain, not doing any assassinations or anything fun.
Says you. I mean, yes. Actually, technically, wouldn't we all be jumping back to the same people?
Pretty much.
I mean,
a good right? point.
Well, we could be doing different parts of the ancestry. So we could be doing Cal's, not Cal, whatever.
Algiers. I'll be doing the awesome parts.
Yeah.
Except for the whole massacre.
I think it'd be a lot funnier if we did all just jump to the same person and then, like, so we're all on those fucking arms and we just keep hitting each other in the head.
God, we would.
Wait, stop. But wait, the audience, our listening audience may not know what the fuck we're talking about. Alex,
oh, right.
What's the summary of this movie?
I'm glad you asked. Today we're talking about the 2016 film Assassin's Creed, along with the associated video games, so spoilers abound. If you want specific content warnings, check out the show notes on NoStoryIsSacred.com. Thanks to our transcriptionist, Ashley, for the request. For those
Thanks,
of you
Ashley.
We blame you. For those of you who either haven't seen the movie or played the games, the summary is... Cal Lynch travels back in time to 15th century Spain for a revolutionary technology that unlocks the genetic memories contained in his DNA. There, he lives out of the experiences of Aguilar de Henar, a distant relative who's also a member of the Assassins, a secret society that fights to protect free will from the power-hungry Templar Order. Transformed by the past, Cal begins to gain the knowledge and physical skills necessary to battle the oppressive organization in the present.
Important bit, present. This movie was set in 2016. Hey guys, we talked about it when we were kind of jumping the gun there with the motion arms and genetic memory there. We don't have super padoopy motion arms, do we?
I will say that we do not necessarily have a robot arm that is safe for humans to be get dragged around in.
How is he doing rolls?
Yeah, I don't know. It's on a spindle. I don't know.
No,
I will
it
say
makes
that
no
we
sense.
Do have robots that look that do weird shit
wait,
like that medical
wait,
shit.
We have Waldos, but
and
yeah.
We have robot arms that can do things like catch and move you around and shit like that.
It can throw you into a wall when it meant to toss you something.
What we don't have are robots that can, oh, I don't know, bring you to a past life regression?
Well, that's the science fiction
that
part.
That's the science fiction of the day. That can be done through drugs.
Yeah, I mean, what there's this term that's, what's it called? I don't know, it's something Mom used to say. You get, like, one magic trick per story, and then everything else has to be real.
The conceit?
No. It was literally something like, you know, you can do one magic thing. So, okay, people can fly. How? Don't know, don't care. But after that, everything has to be realistic. Or there's a box that's filled with Satan. What? Sure.
It happens.
I've heard it referenced elsewhere as, like, the believability budget.
Oh, yeah.
You can only suspend audience disbelief so much. You have the super arm there. You have the traveling through genetic memory. It's a little much for what's supposed to be today.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually a year ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
Genetic memory. Bullshit.
I don't mind that conceit. I mean, there's worse ways to travel back in time, quote unquote.
Yeah. Well, here's a question. When did Aguilar find the time to have a child after, you know, his demise?
Well, I think there was, like, an implied whole lot of time. And also, they're an assassin's cult. I mean, they're probably DTF all the time whenever they're not
I know he has to be dead by the time Kel shows up, but did we see him die, or did he just sort of disappear?
You never saw him die.
So he had plenty of time afterwards.
Yeah, because the last thing we see is him handing off the Apple of Eden. For those listening audience, the Apple of Eden is the MacGuffin. handing the Apple of Eden to, who was it, everybody? Who was it?
Christopher fucking Columbus.
The last person I'd ever hand something important to.
Now, Christopher, make sure to bring this to the West Indies. We need it to go to the Indies, okay? Definitely okay. The Indies.
Now, he'd bring that to the Queen and King of Spain right away.
And they're probably Templars.
The Templars are going to give me lots of money?
Awesome.
And the whole entire, of course, I'm a friend of the assassins. Note that I am going to the New World to rape and pillage.
Exploring. Ha ha. Let's rewind a little bit, I think. Because I guess the movie starts off with young Cal witnessing his father kill his mother, and we have that obnoxious falcon flying overhead, indicating it's the past.
Really?
It happens every single time in the past.
To be fair,
falcons are a major theme of the games.
Yeah.
So. Wait, it doesn't happen all the time in the past because it also appears at the end, which is presumably the present.
I think it happens when something assassinate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To the point where Alex and I were joking about how, he's not Aguilar's
descendant.
He's actually the eagles, which is why the eagle keeps showing up.
That makes sense. Yeah. But yeah, so he sees his mother die. Yeah. Told to run. And next thing you know, he's being executed.
As one does.
Yeah, that happens.
Which is all just a more or less point A to point B, get him to this place that has the Animus. Who go on and on. I swear they shouldn't be called, I can't remember the name of the...
Estergo.
Yeah.
The Institute.
The Institute there.
The Templars.
They're totally not the Templar, but they're the Templar, who have the vague notions of controlling free will in the population. And boy, do they repeat that over and over and over and over again. I swear to God, after about the fifth time they kept on doing exposition bombs, I wanted to throw something at the screen.
So much exposition, and yet the movie still didn't make sense.
No.
Well, wait. I have a whole theory about how the movie could theoretically make sense, and that's largely because I think it's because I haven't played the game. I know nothing about the game.
Well, the game doesn't really rely too much on heavy story development. It's a lot of just parkour killing, to be honest, which is honestly what this movie should have focused on. But we can delve into that in a little bit here. But it was just so boring.
How much time did we actually spend in that facility?
Too much.
That is the big problem.
Too much.
It was like 50-50 between the facility and the cool stuff in the past that I actually wanted to see.
Not
50-50. I'm thinking more, 70-30.
I have a solution for this. This is going to go into my solution. But before we get into that, guys... Yeah. Can we talk about the Templars for a second?
You mean the...
The Knights Templar.
You mean those priests that were pretty much just bankers who got... and then got betrayed by a pope?
No. I'm talking about the knights that for some... the Catholic knights that for some reason have a woman as a major... Like, don't get me wrong. I think Catholicism should get its head out of its ass about these things. But if we're talking about a traditional... Order of Catholic Knights, I'm sorry, there's not going to be a woman leading anything in there.
Well, this is Fantasy 2016.
I'm not sure she was actually leading anything.
She was a major part of it.
Major part, but not actually in a position of power, because remember, she wrote someone else's speeches.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm talking about the older lady.
Which older lady?
There was an older lady, dude.
Who cut off the funding because we had to have conflict there.
Yeah.
Oh,
because Lord knows there was no other modern day conflict, which is why the entire modern day should have been cut.
Also, I think that in the future and possibly even in the past, it stopped being the Catholic organization. I think it was just because it sounds cool to call it the Templars.
I actually really thought that, I mean, just watching this, I'm like, a Catholic didn't write this. This is way too fucking Protestant. You know?
Yeah, I fire could not and, tell the difference.
Like, fire and brimstone talk. Like, yeah, like, Catholics do that, but I don't know. It just, like, okay, but no. It lacked that weird little soupçon of religious weirdo-ness that makes something truly Catholic.
Yeah.
What's funny is that, you know, we were talking about Knights Templar here, but, you know, Ma and Dad actually have the, you know, Knights Templar story where they're the good guys.
Yeah, which is why I was willing to let them be bad guys here, because whatever, they're, at this point, pretty much a fun name you can throw on things.
True.
Yeah, you can slap them anywhere.
It does sound like a cool title, the Knights Templar.
Well, I think there were bad guys in... No, they weren't bad guys in Buffy, were they?
That was a made-up order.
Yeah.
But also, you know, the Templars also have a really cool slogan, which is not the one that's in the movie. Their actual slogan is, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to thy name give glory, as opposed to not to us, but to the future give glory. What the fuck is that?
They didn't want to commit.
No, they wanted the cool name and the idea of a secret society.
Boo. But okay.
Hey, Bren.
Yeah?
Did the video games have that Animus machine?
They had pretty much the Matrix chair, which is why they pushed heavily for the arm. Plus, they wanted to have more kinematic future scenes.
Mm. How did they get whoever the fuck is in the video games into that chair?
They straight up kidnapped them.
Good times. Wait, did they kidnap everyone they strapped into the chair, or some of them?
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Now, quick question. In the video games, are they also looking for the Apple of Eden, which removes all free will?
It's a mind control device, more or less, and there are several of them.
Yeah, the Apple of Eden is the first game.
Okay.
There are other things of Eden, I think.
Are the Templars bad guys in the game as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are working within some constraints. If we are acknowledging that this is a video game movie, it therefore has to follow the video game to some extent, obviously, in order to appeal to that audience. That's the purpose behind it. So, we're stuck with the Templars, we're stuck with the Apple of Eden, and we're stuck with, apparently, modern people getting shoved into...
a machine to relive past memories.
Okay.
And that's why the Knight Templar in the future are using it. They're trying to find the Apple. The MacGuffin.
Okay.
But they do a shit job explaining that in the movie. It's just like, we're using it to end free will.
Womp womp.
We're not going to demonstrate it in action in the past because that would just let the audience know the stakes.
Yeah.
Within those constraints, ladies and gentlemen, how would you fix it?
Ooh,
Brendan, I'm making you go first.
Awesome. So here is the thing. We already hit on it before.
Mm-hmm.
Thing number one I do, we're going to be spending no more than maybe like 20-25% in the modern era. We're kind of just getting things off started. We just have, you know, we don't even need the start of the movie where, you know, we have Cal being
young and
taken from death row because, frankly, it makes him a little less sympathetic of a character.
Oh my god, yeah.
But he killed a pimp. That makes it okay. It was a pimp he killed, not just a random person.
No, that was a stupid exposition. We don't need it.
Of course.
The interesting stuff's in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And hell, maybe we start off the stakes are raised initially. Just, you know, maybe at the midpoint of the movie, we see the apple being used. And yeah, it's like controlling like maybe some of his assassin brothers to betray him and kill him or attempt to kill him, that kind of thing. There's basically something to inform us what the hell this thing does, because it's one thing in the games when you're just busy killing people and they're like, oh, there's the apple. I'm, you know, that's how it worked in the game, is that with each mission you're doing, you're learning more about what your enemies are seeking, and you learn through the missions that they're going after this holy artifact, or not even holy artifact. I don't even remember.
It could be of alien construction.
This, yes, Mulder.
This mystical artifact.
Yeah. Some artifact that can control people's minds, and then it cultivates with the assassin's mentor actually kind of pulling the strings and getting it for himself, and he decided to fight shadow visions and stuff like that and ultimately kill him. Yay.
I mean, that's interesting.
That does sound interesting.
More interesting. Following that convention from the games, I think would have been a bit more interesting. So it becomes much more of like a Indiana Jones adventure rather than this straight up, you know, futuristic thriller thing that I think they were trying to go for. I'd also, we didn't touch on it in the kind of just talking about the movie as a whole. This goes into scrapping most of the future storyline. I'd scrap all the other assassin characters in the compound suddenly waking up all at the same time and suddenly right then deciding, oh yeah, we can kick ass now. Yay. Stab, stab, stab.
That was a little contrived. Why then? Why then?
That had a moment to be really cool.
Oh yeah.
And it flubbed. So we're cutting it.
Yeah.
Cut, cut, cut.
What annoyed me about that scene was like, why is no one using guns?
Oh my god, you know what annoyed me about that scene? Actually, that whole bit was Michael Fassbender was given that knife, right? So he'd go kill his dad, like you do. And then he goes, doesn't kill his dad, and then leaves the knife. And I was like, bro.
And the dad dies anyway.
Yeah. I was like, bro, you were given a weapon.
Yeah.
Don't just leave that behind.
Hide that shit up your sleeve or something. I mean, come on.
You're an assassin. You hide knives up your sleeves all the time.
You weren't even an assassin before. You were just a thug and you still had knives.
Yeah. So other things I'd change. I'd also blur the line between how much you could affect the past, because they state in the early part of the movie, oh, you are just observing the events from the past and all that. I think it'd be kind of cool because it's implied in the movie that, not even implied, it's outright stated that he gets to learn awesome assassin kung fu techniques by using this animus device. I think it'd be kind of cool if there's like a little bit of influence back and forth, cultivating, I think, with, this is going to sound kind of fucked up, but you know how he had this big psychological foible involving the death of his, you know, mom to keep the secret and all that? I'm almost wondering if he, you know, animuses back to that moment just to kind of get what was going on, even from her perspective.
Oh, that's right, because he could do that, because it's a genetic link.
Genetic line, yeah. So kind of goes into his mom, and then we get like maybe a mirror of that scene that happens in the movie where Torquemada has the apple or something, and the lady assassin's like, I'm dead, follow the creed.
Follow the creed.
And then you can use that as a bridge to his childhood where he gets to relive the memories of his mother. And then she makes that same choice because, you know, what's greater to live than something above yourself, you know, the creed. Oh. And yeah, then you can kind of see that, no, it wasn't the dad that killed her. It was her making that choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then trying to tell the dad to get young Cal the fuck out of there.
Oh, no, he was supposed to kill Cal, remember? His dad was weak.
Way to go, Pop.
Well, couldn't kill your own kid. What?
Could kill, well, your wife, but, you know. And, like, couldn't, you know, go, actually, better idea. I'm going to fuck up and get caught anyway. I'll distract them, and then you both run, and you, wife, with the skills of an assassin and an adult, go into hiding.
Oh, so you mean like what happened in Rogue One? How they could have made that whole thing work? Like that?
Stay tuned. Also, that the Rogue One trounced this movie in the theaters.
Shock me.
Deservedly so, I feel.
And what's weird is it's got the same setup. You know, when you're talking about, like, you have the kid in the beginning, you have the dad who sends off the mom who dies, And then we see the kid later in life having, you know, grown up into be not all that they could have been had they had their beloved life or whatever.
A rapscallion.
Yeah. A rapscallion.
Had they lived life as assassins.
Had they, yeah.
Now, there was one other bit I had in my notes and kind of tying into my little story treatment here. Mm-hmm. The doctor, Sophia. I had it in my notes that, like, oh, is she actually the descendant of that female assassin that was the love interest in the past?
Yeah, was she? Was she played by the same actor or something?
They're both dark-haired brunettes, but I don't think they were the same actress. They also, I'd have to look it up.
Both had shadowy black eye makeup, yeah. Which is...
In the language of film, that's practically saying they're the same character, mm-hmm. Especially when you have one main character inhabiting the body of his ancestor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The audience jumps to that.
And she was being very, like, hey, let me see this lineup of assassins that are showing up. And then you'll get, if we're getting pulled out of that.
Yeah. And then, again, other thing I'd change, a lot of the final bit of the movie there. Yeah, we can just have it all resolve at the facility there. Because most of the action's happening in the past. That's where the true climax is. Because imagine the modern day Science Templars there are just weak.
Well, I wouldn't have minded like a modern day Coda.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was like, oh, the assassins have escaped the facility and they're going to go on and continue the creed or whatever. Instead of having that like final thing where it was so weird. Because Marion Cotillard, Sophia, I guess.
Cotillard, yeah.
Looked like she was going to switch over to the assassin side for a moment, and then, like, 5 minutes later, she switched back to the Templars because her dad was killed, and...
Yeah,
which she knew was going to happen, like, the fuck?
I was watching it with Ashley, and we were texting back and forth, and we were like, what were you expecting? He straight up told you he was going to do it.
I'm going to go murder your father and take back the apple. Is that cool?
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I suppose.
It seems like what's going to happen. Okay.
You know, just going to go in there and slit his throat. You know, you're cool with that.
Yeah.
Just we're all on the same page. Throat slitting. It's happening.
Yeah, you're in a facet. I get it.
Yeah. I dig it.
5 minutes later. I swear vengeance.
The hell, lady.
I mean, God damn assuming it. That's what she did, I'm still not sure whether or not she actually was just putting up a good face so that nobody knew she was part of the deal. I don't know, man. You know, like, oh no, my dad has been murdered. I'm completely surprised and had no part in this. Nope.
No, wait, stop. A lot of my changes overall are just... more or less taking a machete to the screenplay and I don't know if you guys might maybe want to chime in with your bits on how to maybe expand the past segment, because I think that is where the meat and potatoes of the film experience should be, because that's what the game was about.
It's a fun part.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna jump right in here then.
Do it.
Oh, go for it.
Okay, so what I'd want to do is I do want to keep the future, but not start with it, not even and say that it's a thing. It's hinted at. Like,
ooh.
Yeah. You know where I'm going with this.
I don't keep going.
But throughout the mission, we're following these assassins around, but every now and then, there are these glitches. Yeah?
Yeah.
And as, you know, Aguilar is doing his assassination thing, he starts saying things that aren't there. Or, you know, he's doing the dive into a lake and suddenly it's a...
freaky future room?
Yeah. Or climbing at a cathedral and it turns it into freaky future room.
Oh, that'd be great, because then there's, like, multiple mysteries going on. There's the Apple MacGuffin, which is your straightforward, we need to do something, and so that's what's propelling the plot. But then there's this... other aspect. I like that.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck am I seeing?
I would have it be every time he had, like, a near-death experience.
Oh, ooh.
Because in the game, when you die because you fucked up because it's a video game, what happens is you desynchronize with the animus.
Yep.
You know, because in the, you don't die in the memory because you have to live in order to have the memory.
Yeah, it's a memory.
Yeah. Yeah.
He goes on and fucks.
Yeah. But yeah, go on.
As he's learning about the apple, because, you know, you need the apple MacGuffin to be a mystery.
Do we?
Well, as long as the primary threat is something clearly defined, in this case, it could just be the Templar, Torquemada, whoever's are closing on the assassins, and that's the tension, not the, oh my god, the Templars in the future are going after this apple to control mankind, oh.
I mean, the apple could be, you know, the equivalent of the glowing suitcase in Pulp Fiction. All you know is it's their job to do something with it.
Well, that's what I was saying, you know, keep it a mystery, just that everyone knows that it controls free will right at the start.
Everyone knows that, right, everybody?
Yep. Just so you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It controls free will.
What does it do?
So wait, I believe it controls free will. But I'm not sure. What do you guys think?
I believe it controls Will Robinson.
Danger, danger.
Yeah.
No. High voltage.
Good job,
fun game of telephone.
Yeah, and so we can also use this to propel, you know, his love and interest with, you know, oh, hey, I'm starting to have these freaky visions. And she's like, hey, that's cool. Are we going to get on with stabbing people? Oh, yeah, sure.
I don't know. I appreciated that there was no...
I kind of like it.
I mean, there was a deep bond, but there wasn't necessarily a love interest, if that makes sense.
They were going to make out, like, several times.
Yeah, but they didn't. I appreciated that. They did that thing where they put their heads together. I liked that.
Oh, we don't need to have, like, a love scene, you know? Yeah. We don't have to have that in there, no. But, I mean, they could have, like, a deep bond connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was demonstrated well in the movie, actually, in the past bits, that they had that... deep bond, the two assassin people.
Yeah. The creed.
You know, and then we can have, at the end, you know, Aguilar finishes his mission, and, like, I can finally rest, and things start to desync, and wakes up as Cal?
Wow.
I'm Michael Fassbender. That's disappointing.
Well, wasn't that an ancestor?
Yeah, Michael Fassbender played both.
What if he wakes up at the end and is like, oh shit, this was actually me in a memory machine the entire time?
Yeah.
And so you get that nice little psychological, you get that nice little trick of making it seem like a dude from the past has come to the future or whatever. But no, it's
a dude from the future reliving the past and suddenly coming to a realization.
Yeah. Actually, it's a neat variant of, and it was all a dream, but it's a variant. I like that.
The occurrence at Owl Creek?
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Never heard of that, but okay, cool.
You never heard of that? This is the quintessential.
Wait. Actually, you're right. I do remember. I read it in college, like, a couple years ago.
I don't know it.
So obviously we'll have to do a podcast about it, but yeah, can somebody, normally I would have Pippin do the explanation, but evidently she's out for the count.
Ha-ha. No, Occurrence at Owl Creek, American lit, which I don't really care for.
This explains why I don't know it.
But basically, in a nutshell, it's a man, I think, being executed or maybe falling to his death.
Executed, yeah.
Yeah, executed. Oh, yeah, that's what it is. And he's being executed via hanging over a bridge, Owl Creek. As the rope comes taut, it snaps and he falls into the river and... survives the fall and swims away and gets away.
Makes a daring escape.
Daring escape, and it's awesome. It'd be a great Michael Fassbender action scene in this movie. Whatever. But then, lo and behold, it was just frenzied imagination of a man about to die. Story ends with neck snap dead.
Man, this is why I don't read American Lit.
No, but that was, like, big shit at the time. Like, people were like, oh my god, twist!
Yeah.
What a twist.
And you didn't feel bad about it because the guy was a plantation owner.
Mm-hmm. So, like, that's a variant of It Was All a Dream, and it's awesome. And so I think that could have been really cool here. I agree, Al. I like what you've said.
Though it does remove the, what is her name?
Sophia.
Yeah, Sophia. Which, hey, she has a...
role?
Yeah.
Well, you can cast her as the female assassin compatriot or whatever.
Well, She could still be a lurking bad guy that appears, you know,
as a ghost image or something.
Yeah, and then at the end, when he wakes up, you know, or whatever.
She can be sequel bait.
Yes, she could lean forward and say, now tell us where you put the apple. And that's the end of the movie.
Or it's thanking him for leading them to where the apple is. And then the next movie is a race as the main character uses his newly acquired assassin skills to go and kick ass in the modern day with super parkour assassin action.
That's honestly what I thought was going to happen.
That would have been better.
I was like, oh, they figured out that the apple is in Clemens's tomb. So the next movie will be them and grave robbing.
Well, yeah, it's what the Uncharted games do all the time. It's like, oh, okay, this treasure is clearly in Columbus's grave. They go to Columbus's grave, and it turns out after lining up some ancient map that Columbus made for no discernible reason that now it's in Brazil. Okay, fine.
So you're saying that Nicolas Cage would be replacing Michael
Fassbender. I would love that movie.
I would fucking watch it.
Oh, yeah.
We gotta follow the creed.
Was anybody else disappointed when they show up in Spain or whatever, in Madrid, go to Columbus's grave, and then they didn't pull an Indiana Jones where they're like, X marks the spot, and they have to do all this shit to try to dig out the apple without letting any of the popes or whatever around, I'm sorry, not popes, any of the priests know what's going on, and they have to be really sneaky. And instead they just go in and like, oh, here you go, box.
Oh, wow. You think we would have checked this a couple hundred years ago, huh?
Yeah. Google Maps, it was right there.
Shit. Let's type in Apple of Eden into Google Maps and see what comes up.
Well, not just that, but like the Templars are a Catholic institution. They went to a fucking Catholic church. You'd think that they have, don't they have like an intranet or something? Oh, God. Like they just email the group like, hey, has anybody seen the Apple of Eden? Oh, we have it. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We built this machine.
Huh. But this is what happens when you don't have an archivist.
Okay, but I'm pretty sure the Catholic Church has crazy numbers of archivists.
This is what happens when you don't digitize your finding aids.
There you go. But yeah, was anybody else disappointed? Because I was just like, uh-oh.
Oh.
Never mind.
We all were.
That's what I was expecting the action-adventure climax of the movie as written to go to, is Michael Fassbender grabbing onto the leg of the helicopter as they fly to Columbus's grave or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we have a big parkour race against time thing. Just because Columbus said he'd be buried with it doesn't mean it's right there in his casket, you know?
Yeah, he also said he was going to the West Indies. What?
The man can't be trusted.
I'm not letting that go, ever.
No one will.
Columbus was kind of a douchebag.
Kind of. Anyway.
Mass murdering fuckhead.
Okay, so actually, I really like Al's thing, and it kind of satisfies my criteria or desire for what I wanted in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Though it doesn't have the quantum leaping back into his mom to see the true reason for her death.
Mm. Well, actually, that brings it into mine, I think. Okay, so one thing that I think none of us have really explicitly stated, because I think the movie fucked this up, but I think this is what they were going for. The bits in the here and now, Michael Fassbender getting, you know, going through the death thing and being in the machine and learning all about the apple, whatever. That's all a frame story for the actual story, which is what's going on in the past.
Correct.
When you have a frame story, though, there's a particular way of dealing with that. You can't, for instance, have the frame story be overloaded. You can't do a 70-30. A good example of this is, for instance, The Princess Bride. In The Princess Bride, you get the opening, like, I'm going to read you this fucking book, because that's how you talk to a 10-year-old.
That's how I talk to 10-year-olds, which is why I'm not allowed to.
Sit down and shut up, kid.
Look, it was Columbo. He's allowed to do stuff. Then you had, every once in a while, you'd pop back into the Grandfather Reagan story to demonstrate that we're still within the frame. And then you had it finish it off. The point of a frame story is to be able to tuck your main story into something that then makes sense. It's the frame around a picture or whatever. It also highlights themes and bullshit like that.
Incidentally, Kat, not to segue too much, but I'm now imagining a Princess Bride that was 70% with Fred Savage and Peter Falk talking.
But what does love mean? Well, here's what love means, kid. Remember your mom and dad? Like, I mean,
not that.
If you imagine, like, what The Princess Bride would have been like with this same ratio, we would have seen his fucking parents. We would have left his bedroom. We would have done, like, seen him doing homework. We would have seen the end of the baseball game. Shit that wasn't important.
Nope. You had a sandwich at one point, we would have gotten to see the making of that sandwich.
Epic sandwich.
That making of a sandwich was deeply thematically important.
Have a 10-minute talk with his grandfather about his motivations.
Oh, God. Or talk about the history, and this calls back to the actual book, The Princess Bride. Maybe talking about where he got the book, the history of the book, how he himself read it as a child, and why it's important to read it to his grandchild. Blah, blah, fucking blah. Okay?
Yeah.
You can think of the book, The Princess Bride, within the movie, as being the Apple of Eden. You know what? You didn't need it. It's how you're getting everybody into the story, but it is not the story. Or it could be. I don't know. Anyway, the point is, I think we should start this movie right at him about to be executed. Not to be grim, although I'm going to be. That was the first time I was actually interested in what was going on. I hate to say it. I was kind of interested in, what the fuck was he doing drawing scary faces in his cell? Fuck that noise.
I have no idea.
So I think that we should start right at the moment of the most exciting moment, which honestly is with the execution scene. We don't know who he is. We don't know why he's there. It's a mystery and it draws the viewer in immediately. And that's the beginning of the frame. Is when he is, you know, he's looking around, he's seeing faces. That's when we see the girl for the first time, Sophia, for the first time. She's going to be a haunting presence throughout the rest of the frame, which brings in Alex's thing. And then we cut out. Suddenly, we're in the past. How are we in the past? It's another mystery. Like, how do these two things connect? Have Michael Fassbender play both, but in a more obvious way, such that we're like, what's he doing in 1400 Spain? That's odd. I thought he was being executed now.
He's in Spain being Michael Fassbender.
The TARDIS is actually an execution chamber. Oh.
No! And then basically pull into what Alex was talking about. Get some action there.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out a better plot line for the past. Because right now we're just kind of jumping around, hoping it makes sense. Like, what happens when he jumps off of really tall buildings? Nothing? I don't know. Like, does he parkour? Does he spread out his legs and arms like a cat?
In the game, it doesn't make much more sense.
It's a leap of faith, you guys.
He jumps into a hay bale.
Yeah.
Every time I saw a haystack in the movie, I was like, haystack, I hope he jumps in it. And he never did.
Well, definitely that one guy who got pushed into one definitely survived.
It wasn't the same.
I will say that we have already, we've taken a lot from the video game. We could probably have sacrificed that one.
That one's iconic, though.
It is.
Okay. Yeah. All right, well, fine. Add magic to the universe. We already have science fiction. Whatever. Yeah. Make it so that he fucking floats. I don't know.
The leap of faith and cat jump that they do?
The implication, at least in the movie, and I think they do it in one of the games too. I forget, at this point. There's like eight of the goddamn games, so there's too many.
Not but enough.
At least with the water landing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the movies, it's always, there's like water underneath, is that he throws the knife right before impact to break the surface tension.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how cool. It's survivable. That's a little that detail that they
great.
Put in the scene. It was in the movie in the final leap of faith. Where? There. That when he breaks the Animus, so it was kind of chaotic. So
he definitely did the knife thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So it breaks the water tension, and maybe in Al's treatment combined with yours, like, you don't quite get all that, or maybe you do, I don't know. But, you know, that's where the moments of desync happen. Mm-hmm. And then you finally get oh, he's doing the assassin's trick of throwing a knife into the water just before impact.
Additionally, though, I want to see, you know, so when we do the framing part, when we go back to the frame, we see, you know, we see the girl, we see Sophia, we hear things, we see vague things. I would like to keep... I really, really liked when he was fighting against his memory self. I thought that was really cool. And so we could keep a variant of that, you know, because there's a lot of thematic, you know, fighting against yourself and, you know, thematic, blah, 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 symbolism.
Fighting against your weaknesses.
And meanwhile, we could also, I don't know, like, there's so much you could do with the story in the past. Just connect it up better, man. That you have the backbone there, that you have the spine, add some fucking muscle to it and you're done. And then at the end, you return that he dies or doesn't die or whatever. The apple is theoretically in a safe spot, not Christopher Columbus.
Magellan, fuck it.
Yeah.
Good luck finding it now, motherfuckers.
And then we get to back to the present. We discover that, in fact, you know, Michael Fassbender, you know, wakes up properly for the first time, I guess, since, like, he died.
Got executed.
Exactly. Okay. And then there's the girl, and she's like, hey.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I still like that theme of thank you. Mm-hmm. You just helped the bad guys.
Yeah.
That's nice.
And be really great if Aguilar is having like these recurring nightmares where he's seeing this woman, you know, and so he's fighting against something and he thinks that he's saving the day and he's fucking not. Womp, womp, womp. I literally forgot until I was talking just now that the movie doesn't start with the kid. It starts with that, like, I will protect this forever shit. Doesn't it?
Yeah, it starts with the weird...
Sucks that.
Yeah, it starts in the past with the self-mutilation. No.
With the finger cutting.
Yeah.
Which, great idea for a secret cult of assassins. Yeah. Let's have an identifying mark.
That's definitely... That then also decreases our abilities.
Smart. But I think that's something kept from the games for reasons.
The first couple of games, I think, has that. And I double-checked with Ashley when I was watching, because it didn't make sense when I was watching her play the games either. They cut the finger because they have a secret knife.
That goes there, yeah.
It's strapped to their wrist and that's where the knife comes out.
Yeah, the knife blade.
So they can punch with it.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of cool.
Otherwise, you chop off your own finger anyway through the knife blade. So they're like, oh, we'll just beat it to the punch and chop off your... The thing is like...
It's a loyalty thing and...
Started off as practicality and yeah.
And then eventually they updated the knife thing so they don't have to do that anymore.
Well, that's good. Because also, nobody cauterized that wound.
Ow.
Nope.
That's a lot of bleeding out, people.
I don't think you bleed out from that.
I think it's possibly that you could die without...
I think infection would get you.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's my...
That's your thing? So start off with the execution, stick in the past up until the very end?
Yeah, I think make it more obviously a frame. Like, be clear in that.
Question for you, would you resolve the apple storyline at the very end of the movie in the future, or would you leave that open for sequel bait, which is kind of a double-edged sword?
It is. Here's the problem. I would, during the past bits, have an exploration of what the apple is and what it actually does and so forth. You know, you'd get that scene like you get in The Avengers where we do actually see that Loki can make everyone fucking kneel. Like, yep, he's a god. You know, with this apple, you can in fact do shitty things.
Yeah, that happens in the games as well.
But that was actually from your thing, like demonstrate that this is what can happen when this shit goes down.
Yeah, demonstrate the stakes.
Exactly. However, honestly, off the top of my head, I don't know what I would do. I feel like I could resolve it. I don't mind having a negative ending, but that's me personally. You know, maybe you could flash to him having one, you know, she says thank you, she leaves the room, he's panting, and then suddenly he gets one last flash of memory. Suddenly himself says, wait, fuck that noise, takes it back from Christopher Columbus or whatever, and says, I'm not done with it yet, or some shit.
Or you could have the thing I was talking about before where maybe there's a little bit of crosstalk between future and past where, you know, the future self goes, wait, no, that's a terrible idea.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so the past guy's like, oh, hey, so maybe my weird visions and creepiness that I've been having is actually useful.
Yeah.
Oh, and that'd be a nice combination. That's a nice final image. You know, the actual communication between the two selves. As opposed to the sort of latent stuff going on.
The two sides of the coin become one and save the world. Yay.
Ooh. And then actually, that's a nice set for a sequel where they're much more in communication, if that makes sense.
One Michael Fassbender.
But, like, you know, so Michael Fassbender could deliberately be trying to contact his past self to deliberately learn this stuff. It could be, like, almost an origin story for Michael Fassbender as opposed to an origin story for the...
Aguilar?
Exactly.
But we get to start with Aguilar kicking ass.
Yeah.
Remember, it's Cal, not Michael. Hi, Cal.
Cal. Cal. So that way we have room for a sequel without depending on it. And of course, yeah. Then you get the cheeky thief or the cheeky assassin. He's like, nope. Well, lol. The end.
Yeah. Sidebar here. I kind of wish, I mean, granted, it's not really in keeping with the themes of the game, at least, you know, the first game. They were kind of serious town. I kind of wish there was more banter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe that's me.
Did Aguilar ever actually talk?
Yeah. He did.
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah, with the assassin buddy.
Oh, okay. I for whatever reason, I'm remembering him as not ever, and I really like that he was like this silent assassin, not because he was super cool, but because, you know, well, life was sort of shit. You know, there's not much to say beyond protect the creed, you know?
The creed. That's my theme for this episode.
Anyway, so that's me. Hey, Pip.
Yes.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hi.
So it's my turn, right?
Basically, that's where I was going with that one.
Much like everyone else, I'm cutting way back on the present day. Mm-hmm. I want you guys to appreciate that I put finger quotes around present. and, you know, I'm focusing really on the past part, which was the cool part.
Mm-hmm.
With more parkour adventures, because there wasn't enough parkouring in the movie.
There wasn't enough purposeful parkour. Some of it was just like, okay, great, yes, you're doing stuff, that's fine, okay, whatever.
Well, I'm cool with, you know, unpurposeful parkour, too, because it looks cool.
I think it's just because I got bored during the save the prince from the cage scene.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I think we can all agree that Beth's fight scene was the escape from the execution.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Escape from the execution. That went on a long time, but I was there for every minute of it.
Wait, Pip, go on.
Yeah, I lost my train of thought for a second.
Choo-choo.
I was going to sidebar and say that the reason I think that Cal's childhood went to shit with, you know, all the murder and stuff was because all the buildings were so low to the ground that they couldn't properly leap off things and they didn't know what to do with themselves.
Is there any reason why his parents had to be assassins too? Like, couldn't that have faded out? And that could have been like a
familial
line. Yeah. Okay. You know, the assassins, they were a family line, hence why the genetic memory thing works.
Fine. Yeah. I'm going to cut them anyway from my version, so it doesn't matter.
I mean, we never have to meet his parents to know that they were
assassins.
I demand that we refer to that, we use that style for every time we say assassins from now on.
Yeah, I love you, but I'm going to go no with that. But yeah, no, so while I'm agreeing with the cutting down on the present and really focusing on the past, I'm going to disagree with everyone.
What?
I know. The idea of the conversation between the past and the present, in that the present can inform the past. Because to me, the past is the past.
What?
I know.
Pip, time is a circle.
I think you'll find that time is an ocean.
Caught in a storm.
Yes.
You may wonder who I am and why I say this.
Other sidebar, did you know that the video game was actually supposed to be a Prince of Persia game?
Assassin's Creed? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I heard that.
That makes a parkour make sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's Ubisoft, it's parkour.
Digression. I do think that the Assassin's Creed movie was better than the Prince of Persia movie.
Well, yeah.
Low bar to cross, but, you know, it got there.
Listen, the bars for a video game movie are, on the top is Mortal Kombat, the movie.
What?
On the bottom is the Super Mario movie, or whatever it was called, Super Mario Brothers.
Where's Resident Evil?
Somewhere in the middle.
it's kind of actually became its own thing.
They kind of went so far away from the video games, it became its own monstrosity.
I don't think Mortal Kombat's the height of... I love it, but I don't think it's the height of video game possibilities.
I think the point is that video game movies are bad.
Hey, lest you forget, that movie got me a Sega Genesis as a tax write-off when I was a kid.
That's true. Oh, wait. Does the audience know that story?
Tell the story.
Well, fun fact, audience. Our folks actually, under a pen name, so I guess we're ruining the surprise there, but wrote the novelization for the Mortal Kombat movie. And of course, when you're doing a novelization, you have to do research, right, guys?
Right. Oh, right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, legit. You know, I was, you know, got to be one of the cool kids that had a Sega Genesis and Mortal Kombat. Yeah.
Good job.
Now, just to be clear, it was the novelization of the movie, not the game.
True.
The movie as it was scripted as well.
Yes. Yeah.
So, in that book, there is the Goro fight scene, as it was originally.
We can save this for another day.
Oh my god.
We can have a very special family anecdote episode.
A very special episode.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to Pip's treatment here. So you want to keep no communication with the past and present, right? Now,
well, the past can inform the present,
okay,
because they can remember things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that when the framing device comes back, when we have moments in the presence throughout the movie, I think it'd be super cool, but too jarring to an audience who aren't familiar with the games, if suddenly at the end,
mm-hmm,
it's in the present. And that would involve a lot of exposition towards the end when we should have had most of it already.
That's true.
And having it at the beginning and at the end, I feel there needs to be at least one other bit in the middle to have the rule of three going.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
But possibly just more little bits in there. Not a ton, just, you know, a few to let you know that maybe not everything is right in the past, or in the present, rather.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not being so in your face about it.
But, like, subtle creepiness, like Sophia's character, or Sophia there, can be like, no, you should go back and find out more about thing that just happened in the story.
Like, not saying, hey, we want to get rid of free will, because no one's going to be on board with it if you phrase it like that.
No, God, no.
But saying, hey, we want to
save the world.
Save the world.
Or heck,
maybe phrase it as we want to rid the world of violence.
World peace.
Still a bit creepy, but a bit more, oh yeah, we can get behind that.
She was actually phrasing it like that.
Yeah. That's,
but not enough.
She honestly believed that's what she was doing.
Yeah. I actually thought she said it too many fucking times. It was that repetitive.
Yeah, that was the problem.
Why can't it just be, you know, this is, make it the fucking Templars, forget this Institute thing, and just say, we are trying to locate an important historical artifact that's important to our group. And then he finds out, oh shit, the reason it's important is because...
Mind control.
So they don't tell him that's a mind control device. It's just, we need help finding a priceless artifact that's important to the church.
Exactly. And that's part of the mystery is like, you know, well, wait, why the fuck are you going to this extreme to get a, you know, an artifact? Like, it belongs in a museum?
It belongs in its home country, but whatever.
It belongs in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah. And so when he wakes up, you know, there are these moments of, well, okay, and maybe in the background we see what we learn to be other assassins.
Mm.
Maybe they're also in animus machines of their own.
Ooh.
Because just because they don't have the memory for the Apple of Eden, they might have other information.
That would be cool. Matrix.
The movie implied they already got information from the other assassins, so that holds.
Yeah, but implied, and
also, what are they still doing with them then? I mean, kill them.
Oh, no, they should all be fucking dead before the movie even started.
Which is why I like Pip's solution, where they're still in, you know, the devices.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And, you know, it's a bit creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh no, you're starting a riot. Shock collars.
Yeah.
Are you honestly, we're whole entire thing is no free will. Why would we give you free will when your job is assassinating people?
Yeah.
Come on. Come on.
And then as Aguilar does, you know, cool shit in the past, we can see Cal learn how to do that cool shit in the future. And we can see him sort of bring it all together in the action-adventure climax, you know, in Madrid or wherever. Mm-hmm. Where, by the way, the main villain dude has already set off the Apple of Eden and isn't making his big speech and then setting it off. Because that's one of the bits where I texted Ashley. It's like, when I am evil overlord.
Just use the fucking device.
I set it off 35 minutes ago.
In the original Assassin's Creed, granted, the only game I ever played was the original one. Again, the old mentor uses it, and you're kind of fighting these, you know, visions that are trying to take over your mind, more or less. And through willpower, it's implied that you, you know, overcome the effects at least temporarily enough to overpower the guy and, you know, attempt to destroy the apple.
Yeah.
Which would be kind of cool. Maybe he's, like, in sync with his, because he's been using the Animus so much, he's in sync with his past self, which is, like, shielding him from the effects of the present or something. Oh, it could be a nice allegory for remembering lessons of the past to protect from the effects of the future, to protect from current events, you know?
Those who don't learn from history are doomed to what?
Take it again next year.
Summer school. They're doomed to summer school.
But yeah, so, and sort of have that be a bit more organic.
Mm-hmm.
Having very little to do with that, I actually thought when I was watching it, that they were gonna do a twist, and what's it said, Aguilar was going to die, and the, female assassin whose name I should remember, was going to live, and she would also be his ancestor, and they would have a child, and that child would be the descendant. And I was texting Ashley with that, and she's like, so, the girl's going to live because she's going to have babies. Problematic in a different way. And I'm like, yeah. Because we met her and I texted her. And so I'm like, I'm going to miss her when she dies.
Aww.
And I wasn't wrong.
Yeah, it's a good thing that she sacrificed herself for the male's journey.
I was really mad when she died. Not just because they killed off the female character, because of course, but also because she didn't fight at that point, because that was the height of nothing to lose.
Yeah, yes, kick the guy in the balls.
Kick the guy. You have a knife strapped to your arm. Just jam it back behind you.
You probably have knives in your boots.
Does he need that kneecap? No.
And even if he, you know, gets your throat while you're doing it, at least you did something.
Yeah.
Instead of just sort of, yeah.
Here's a theory. It is possible that what she did, like her action scene, was she's the one who did she force the knife into her own neck? No, that was his mom.
Nah.
Okay, that would have been an action point that she could have done, because remember Aguilar he was going to let the dude go to save her life, and she could have been like, "Shit, no! What did we just talk about with the creep
5 minutes ago?
Not listening. Fine."
Yeah.
Or maybe, like, we plant, like, having a... Oh, they had, like, explosives, didn't they?
They had gas bombs. They had flashbangs.
Yeah.
I feel like in the game you can get bombs, but that wasn't established in the movie at all.
No, they had smoke bombs, so I don't think it'd be that much of a leap to... It's like, good thing I had one left, and drop, boom, or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Just a quick shot of him putting one back in a pocket, and then you're done.
But I guess you don't get that one-on-one fight with the top knot guy, the man bun.
Because otherwise, how can you know you really mean it unless your girlfriend's dead?
Of course.
So, hey guys, it sounds like that we've come up with some pretty great stuff here that I think actually would have fixed the movie in a realistic way without necessarily having to, as we did with Star Trek, or at least as I did in Star Trek, just completely fucking rewrite it. You know, I think that with some judicious editing and a few new scenes, this could have happened.
Yeah, it sounds like we didn't want to necessarily upend everything so much as, let's just fix the damn thing.
Yeah, refocus, you know?
Change the balance.
Exactly. Yeah.
It could have been so much more.
It could have been a really cool movie. Not even just a cool video game movie. It could have just been a cool movie, you know? All right, hey guys, do we have a game?
Actually, I have one that I'm making up on the fly.
What?
No cheat sheet for us. Here's what I'm pitching for a game for tonight.
Okay.
Okay, so we have the premise of Assassin's Creed, correct? Leaping back in time?
Yep. Mm.
The game is we're making an original Assassin's Creed story where you're leaping back in time to some new setting. Go.
Oh. Okay, I got one.
Okay.
Because this is my time period, this is my shit. Are we going back to Regency England? Yes, we fucking are. I want French spa. I want the Scarlet Pimpernel. I want the Scarlet Damn. Pimpernel to be going.
That was what I was thinking.
Snooze, you lose.
Next time you come up with a game, you need to get in it first.
Yeah, seriously.
Right, go on. The Scarlet Pimpernel.
I want the Scarlet Pimpernel. I want him to be going. I want the League of the Scarlet Pimpernel. It's already set up, man. Steal it. I mean, use it respectfully in public domain. You know, we have the Napoleonic Wars. Great stuff going on there. If you want, I guess you could go a little bit earlier into the Georgian period and make it about, like, the American Revolution. Whatever. But, yeah, no, Regency period. Then you get to see people wearing, like, funky clothes and going to dances and slitting each other's throats at costume balls. It's awesome.
Okay, what would your MacGuffin be? It can be, like, any kind of vaguely... Maybe slightly religious sounding MacGuffin device.
Well, you know what? Like, let's expand this a little bit. This is set in England. England has gone Anglican. Anglican means the royalty is actually the head of the church, is actually a religious figure. Crown jewels, man.
Ah. Ooh. So England managed to work in some ancient artifact into the crown jewels.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, so... If somebody's trying to break into the Tower of London, or maybe it's hiding in the Tower of London, you know,
Ooh.
Like, so it's in a secret compartment. So there's the obvious, oh, of course, it's a jewel heist. No, that's not what's really going on. It's actually the Holy Grail, you know, or some nice. Shit like that, you know, and it's buried underneath the third stone of the fifth, whatever, beneath the crown itself. And that's where the power of the royalty comes from. I don't know. Anyway. Or better, the reason why George III went crazy is because the bad guys have stolen this religious artifact from the Tower of London, where it needs to be in order to maintain the royalty of England.
Otherwise, the royal or like the royal line crumbles and
exactly.
all that.
Exactly, and as we know from King Arthur, if the royal line crumbles, there goes England or some shit.
But doesn't that mean Arthur comes back from Avalon to help write things?
Once in future king.
What?
Yeah,
he's a once in future king.
So true. Oh my God, can you imagine if he's an assassin too?
Oh,
Arthur. He probably was.
Okay, so. Now the story is them having to fight against, I don't know, the French. Of course, the French want to destabilize the crown. They're at war. Boom.
And, like, I guess the Knights Templar have at least the bad guy version Knights Templar have a reason to do this because, again, Anglican, they broke off from the church. Mm-hmm. Fuck those guys.
French or Catholic?
Oh,
waddle
man,
bum,
the ring.
Bum, bum, bum.
Could you imply that the French monarchy prior to the Reign of Terror was, like, looking to separate out from the church as well, and that's why this all got orchestrated? Could that be one of the reveals?
Sure. Fuck it. Why not? yeah, let's go for it.
Historical fiction is fun, kids.
So now that it's having to recover this religious item, which then, maybe it takes time. It started with George III. He was crazy. Prince Regent wasn't that great a fucking king. He was a mess. And then you have his kid or his niece, maybe. And I believe that's going to be Victoria. Mm-hmm. Solid fucking queen.
So that's when the end of the story happens, is with Queen Vic.
Exactly. Or with her, you know, her crowning or what have you. I think there's actually some difficulty with finding her and all sorts of stuff. So yeah, there's a nice period in there. And in fact, fuck the game. I might steal this. I'm sorry, guys. So bad news. Another book for us to write.
No.
Oh no.
So, just so everyone knows, there is an Assassin's Creed set in Victorian England.
That's okay. That's okay.
And I love it. And when watching this movie, I was like, man, this would be so much better if it was the Victorian England one.
Isn't there also an Assassin's Creed set in,
the American Revolution? Yeah.
Yep.
And also Revolutionary France.
Or, I'm not sure about the Revolutionary France one.
I'm not sure. Or was it Napoleonic France?
The thing is, there's so goddamn many of these that, I'm not going to keep track anymore.
Here's the thing. The Assassins are and the Templars, they're both fucking cults. They've got tons of members. I'm certain there is more than one adventure going on at any given point.
Yeah. And to answer your question, there's a Jack the Ripper downloadable episode, but it's not part of the main game.
Uh-huh.
Damn.
Wait, do you play as Jack the Ripper, or you take down Jack the Ripper?
I think you take down Jack the Ripper, but to be fair, I did not watch Ashley play that one.
They tend to portray the assassins as quote-unquote good guys, so...
Lame, they're assassins.
They're assassins, but they're good guy murderers. Assassins.
They're assassins, not murderers. I like that. All right, so that's my entry to the game, that I'm now also going to turn to an original novel. Sorry. Sorry, everybody.
No, that's cool.
Well, I suppose I do. I want to see these assassins get totally fucked over during the First World War.
So it'd be like Assassin's Creed Downfall.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Because it's the war to end wars, and just everyone has put their hats in that ring. No one really comes out smelling like roses in that.
Well, not just that, but also the weaponry and the way to wage war changed drastically.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so there's these assassins who are running around like, I have a smoke bomb and a knife in my hand. And they're like, I have a machine gun.
Shit.
Dun, dun, dun.
They have guns, Joe. Martial arts don't stop guns. Oh, man.
Yeah. And also, like, during this time, like, they're not the only ones being assassins out there now. They're like...
freelancers.
Yeah.
They don't adhere to the old ways.
They don't adhere to...
the creed.
Assassins. Assassins. Sorry, I'll keep going.
Obviously, they're going to be on the right side on this... Oh, wait. Who is the right side?
World War One was murky like that.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
See, because if this was World War Two, you could have done something with, like, Hitler and his weirdo supernatural stuff, but that's too easy. World War One.
Oh, yeah.
That's a difficult bunny.
Like, if it was World War Two, and they can be, like, the guys who end up fucking a Valkyrie, but no. It's World War One. This is, like, a multinational syndicate here, and suddenly, like, okay, which side are you on? I think, technically, we're at war right now.
But we're doing slightly better than those guys over there. Are they even part of this? No, man, they're just fucking Italian. Well.
Fuck those guys.
The Italian assassin is awesome.
Okay, so what's your magical MacGuffin? What's your religious MacGuffin?
Like, what was the greatest weapon in World War One, was it the planes, the machine guns, or
mustard gas?
That's what I was thinking.
I would think that the History Channel probably has devoted most of their programming to this very question.
Well, the MacGuffin itself could emit noxious gas that they've been collecting. The bad guys,
or it
and
could
giving
just
it to
be
both sides. Ooh. Oh wait, this is Wonder Woman again. God damn it!
I haven't watched it yet.
What?
You haven't watched Wonder Woman yet?
Note to self, doing that later.
I meant to.
Okay, leaving aside our recriminations regarding Alex and his vast error in not watching Wonder Woman. MacGuffins, I mean, I'm assuming we're all thinking the same thing. Obviously, that's why Franz Ferdinand was killed, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's holding it.
Yeah.
Was he assassinated by the Templars, or accidentally assassinated by the assassins, and they're like, oh shit, did we do this?
Well, maybe he was a Templar and he had it, and
And oh, that'd be kind of a nice way. That's why the assassins, creed, as we know them, the creed
is falling apart.
Fall apart is that they assassinated a guy, but without really thinking about the geopolitical consequences.
Oh yeah,
started a world war and oops.
Whoops!
Good job, you guys. Nice job breaking it, hero.
Yeah, not everything is allowed anymore.
Oh man, they had to like think of their whole deal, and then that gets into their version of PTSD, whatever they were calling it at the time.
Shell shock.
Like, damn, this is, dude, that's awesome, man.
Shit, dude.
Well, also, like, all what right. if it was a third party who killed Franz Ferdinand, and then everybody's blaming each other, and...
Was it you? No. Was it you? No.
Oh. It's gotta be one of us. We're the only secret cults doing this stuff around here. I mean, come on.
The weirdest lockroom mystery.
Okay. Anyways.
So that's Al's.
I finally thought of... I've spent this whole time thinking. Fair. So if Al is done...
Oh, that's dangerous.
Wow, fuck you. If no one minds.
Go for it.
I mind.
Well, I don't care, so... I was just being polite before. So what I'm thinking is, I'm not sure how well it would work, because it might not be far enough back, but 1970s New York.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. If it worked for Buffy, it can work for you.
You know, because that was New York back when it was, you know, icky. Yeah, it was dangerous and it was kind of gross. The subway was more awful than it is right now. And, you know, Times Square was full of pornography and prostitutes and stuff. And I know in some of the games, sometimes if you need to hide from the authorities, what you can do is you can hang out with the prostitutes and no one looks for you there.
Nice.
You have to pay them, of course.
Of course.
And, you know, there are a lot of tall buildings for you to leap off of. I'm Very not important. Sure so many haystacks to land.
Garbage dumpsters, I think we all know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Matt Murdock.
I wasn't going to say it.
Pip, is this going to be your excuse to make this it's about Daredevil?
You guys were the one who brought up dumpsters, okay?
All right. So... What's the conflict aside from New York is shitty?
Well, to be fair, New York is shitty.
Fair. Okay.
Oh man, if I'd set it back farther in the past, we could have something with Boss Tweed.
Ooh. But no, you're stuck now. I'm making you do the 70s.
Yeah. I don't know enough about the 70s. Right, before fine. Giuliani what? Cleaned it up.
Okay.
Like the square he is.
Well, also square. Creating a whole bunch of the homeless like shit, but yeah.
What? Yeah. Urban studies? Yeah. Who needs that? Okay, but wait, Pip. All right. Yeah. So let's just say the conflict is New York, isn't it shitty? And we'll make it more personal with your characters as opposed to something on the outside. What is your religious MacGuffin?
The Spear of Longinus.
The what?
The Spear of Longinus?
The Lance of Longinus?
Longinus. The guy
the thing is, the spear that stabbed Christ in the side when he was taken off the cross.
Okay. What's it doing? Where is it at? What's going on with it?
Listen, I don't remember what it does. I just remember that it's important.
No, I mean, like, what are you doing with it?
What am I doing with it?
The Spear of Destiny, by the way, is what that's called.
I believe it has many names.
Your face has many names.
Your face has many names.
Get along, guys.
This girl has no names. I am not sure if it is too on the nose to have the spear in the torch of the Statue of Liberty.
No, that's beautiful.
No.
I'm not sure when you stop being able to go up to the torch.
Would that stop our assassins?
No, but I'm wondering if you're not allowed up there anymore because of them, the assholes.
I'm Googling it. Keep talking.
Yeah, and so then it becomes a weird allegory for the, for freedom. Just, you know, hitting people over the head with it. But not as obnoxious a way as the movie did with how we want to take away free will.
Interesting.
Well, maybe awesome. You could push it up to Giuliani. You could make Giuliani a Templar.
Let's not involve real people.
Yeah.
Real living people.
Yeah, so, that's what I meant.
Actually, Assassin's Creed, like, was it 3 or 4? It did have you getting, you know, your weapons from Ben Franklin.
Oh, hey guys.
What?
Actually, the Statue of Liberty plays into Alex's.
What?
Apparently, the reason that we can't go all the way up to the torch is because of an act of sabotage by Germany on July 30th, 1916.
Huh.
Oh. Ah.
Apparently, there's an explosion.
Oh.
Oops.
Weird.
Wow, I could have sworn we were able to go up to the torch more recently than that.
It wasn't until the renovations in 1984 that the arm was repaired and the torch, the first part of the statue... Access to the torch was never reopened.
Huh.
Yeah, so the assassins are totally having a big fight up there.
Totally having a big fight.
And leaping from
and
it.
And they've been hiding shit up there. The explosion was a way to hide stuff.
Dun, dun,
the Templars did it.
Also, I just figured out what my MacGuffin is.
Mm. Okay.
Uh-huh.
It's the skin of the snake from Eden.
Ooh. Oh, that's some creepy that I haven't seen before.
Right?
Ew.
And that ties into the mustard gas, the poison.
Ah.
Nice.
Nice.
Okay.
Okay.
So,
back to Pip. So
do you have anything else left, Pip?
That was pretty much what I had.
So, Disco Assassins.
Disco Assassins!
Stab, baby, stab. Okay. So, I guess to round things off here and, just tell you guys my idea.
Do it.
At my core, I'm still a weeaboo at heart. Aww. We're going for Meiji Restoration Japan, which is to say, like, when the transfer away from samurai happened and all that.
Mm.
Because here's the thing. The Christians were, they had like a presence in Japan there for a while, but, you know, they slowly started, you know, trying to make more and more converts, and I want to try and play that up.
Mm.
The Templars or whatever are making power moves in the middle of the Meiji Restoration Revolution, however you want to, whatever. Yeah, that's the thinking there. So I'm not quite sure. I just want to have an assassin that's also a ninja. I mean, come on. It's easy.
Fair enough.
Stuff happening in the background. We have this big, you know, shogunate war happening in the background. Lots of chaos. Maybe some fun action scenes involving samurai and horses and stuff like that. The MacGuffin, I was thinking, and this could be, you know, other video game weeaboo-ness for me here, is the Lantern of Izanagi.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with the story here.
Nope.
Izanagi is a Japanese equivalent of the Orpheus tale.
Mm-hmm.
So goes into the underworld, trying to get his wife out from the underworld. Instructed, don't shine the light on your wife on the way out. It's a bad idea. Guess what he does?
Bros.
And yeah, he does that and yeah, births a whole bunch of terrible monsters in Japan. Not a good time. But he gets to go on and be a founder deity of Japan, so yay for him.
Hey.
Upsides. Now the reason why the Templars want it, and the reason why it's a bad idea for them to have it, mm-hmm. is this could be like one of those parables about how having knowledge of something is not necessarily a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some total knowledge, no one brain can handle that. So just imagine shining that light in somebody's face and they understand everything.
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned.
We're talking brain melting. So you could have, like, you know, the classic ending of, like, you know, bad guy deciding, oh, I'm just gonna take all the knowledge into myself and melt own brain. Oh.
You mean how the bad guy died in Crystal Skull?
Yeah, but less shitty.
I was thinking how the bad guys died in, was it the Ark of the Covenant?
Yeah, something like that. That's same difference.
Yeah.
Melting happens.
Is Indiana Jones trying to teach us that knowledge is bad?
Knowledge without restraint.
Mm.
Remember, it's like knowledge without wisdom, right?
Yeah, or behaving for venal reasons.
Yeah.
But let's save that. Let's save that for another day.
The Indiana Jones episode, yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, so, dude, that's awesome. I like that. I like that you're bringing in non-Western shit. Good, because that's definitely an area that I am not good at. And I like the object. I like that you're bringing in real mythology, real stuff. Then having Western people fucking
stealing the shit out of concepts from the Persona game. So yeah,
I wasn't gonna say.
It's
you
fine.
Could say Al. It's fair.
No story. As always, if you have a story to submit, head on over to nostoryissacred.com/submission. Follow us on Twitter at nostoryissacred, or send an email through contact@nostoryissacred.com. Your hosts have been Alex McDonald, Brendan McDonald, Pippin McDonald, and Catherine Crichton. Editing for this episode was done by Brendan. Transcript done by Ashley DaCosta, who we blame for all of this episode. So art, by the way, is by Jay Wolf. Show notes and transcript are available at nostoryissacred.com. See you next time when we are again coming to bat with one of our own synopsis. Our own Pippin will be bringing the synopsis summary of the book that she has been asked for by editors. Real life editors to write.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Things happen, you guys.
And so we are going to be talking about and taking apart whatever it is she submits to us.
Do we have a name for it, Pip?
Yeah, Pip.
It's called My Best Frenemy.
And she's excited to talk about it. And it's National Novel Writing Month, NaNoWriMo. Follow along on Twitter as I try to write the book from episode 5, Greetings Valentine.
I'm sure that's going to go great, Kat.
Oh, it's going fantastically. I'm very certain of that. It'll be great. Fine. Good.
I believe in you.
Everything's fine here. We're all fine here.
Nothing's on fire. How are you? What?
I'll just put this over here with the rest of the fire. Until then, we're No Story is Sacred, and any story can be changed. I'm Kat.
I'm Brendan.
I'm Pippin.
And I'm Alex.
And we're
No Story is Sacred.
No Story is Sacred. What? Oh.